We're in this series on being not alone, looking at mental health issues. Last week, Kevin looked at the gift of showing up, of coming, seeing, and sitting with people who are in struggle. This week, we're going to look at that next step. What can we do that's practical that can help people who are paralyzed by depression, anxiety, stress, loneliness? What can we do? And what does the scripture have to encourage us and guide us? I don't know if you have this experience, but I do. And it's a little embarrassing, but I'm going to share it with you for the purpose of hopefully we can all relate. But do you ever find yourself, you're at the grocery store, you're at any store, Walmart, and you're walking and you notice something. You notice maybe an older person has maybe more groceries than they can handle, and they maybe are starting to struggle a little bit to get those groceries in the trunk of their car or the back seat of their car. And do you find yourself sort of like looking, wanting to help, kind of looking away, and then thinking like, no, I'm not going to help. I mean, what if they don't want help? What if they take it the wrong way? What if the old man gets mad at me and he starts like trying to hit me because he's totally capable and has it himself? And then the groceries are in the car and I go on my way and I do nothing, right? I've done nothing. I thought a lot about doing some stuff, but I do nothing. Or I find myself walking to the front of the store and I notice somebody's like kind of almost pacing me, but almost not. And I'm like, maybe I should open the door for this person. But then I realize like my steps and their steps are not the same steps. And then I start thinking, well, I either need to slow way down or speed way up, or I'm going to get there before them and there's going to be an awkward like 10 seconds where I'm holding the door, looking at them, waiting for them to get there. These are the things I struggle with. They are deep, deep things. I can't even go to the grocery store and get it right. And I've been sort of like thinking through that. Like, why are you that way, Corey? Like, why don't you just err on the side of being helpful? Like, just, and so I've been telling myself, like, just err on the side of being helpful, Corey. Rather than sit there and have this stupid conversation that's a total waste of time that does nothing, just jump in and help. Just open the door. Just ask the question. And if I can't get that right, that's why I laugh when we're here. We're going to talk about how to help people who are dealing with very deep, deep life issues. I mean, this week I just bought a boat that is in two halves. Okay? I showed this picture to several people, and I wish I could put on the screen the look I'm getting back from them. Like, there's something wrong with you, Corey. There is, trust me, okay? But as we think about helping people who are dealing, who have very, very deep and serious life issues, they're in a prison in their mind that they cannot get out of. This is a great story this morning where we look at Jesus healing the paralytic man and we look at his friends carrying him to Jesus. And just beyond sort of like these kind of funny, trite stuff, like there's lots of reasons we can come up with to not help people. A couple of them are, I don't have the time to fight somebody else's battles. I've got my own stuff and I just don't have the time to jump into somebody else's stuff. We can also say, I don't think it's my job. It's not my responsibility to carry other people's problems. I've got my own. Or maybe you simply just feel like, I don't know how. I don't know what to do. I wouldn't know what to say. I'm not trained for this. These are all like very real responses to diving into this issue of helping someone who's in a deep, dark place. And while they are, I think, reasonable, I think that as followers of Jesus, we are called to more because we are people who have been healed. We are people who have been touched by Jesus. And so my hope for us as we look at this text this morning is that God will inspire us. He will compel us to want to do all that we can do to help people who are in a deep, dark struggle with depression and stress and anxiety or whatever else it may be. So as the text that we look at, we're in Mark chapter 2, if you're not there, And just to summarize the scene, Jesus was in Capernaum. He had to leave for a while. He's starting to gain in popularity. People are starting to take notice of Jesus. People, the Pharisees, people wanting to be healed, people that are curious about religious things. And so he finds himself back at home in Capernaum. He's in the house he's staying, and he's teaching. He's teaching God's word, and the place is packed. There's no more room to get inside the house. So there's people that are now filing outside the house into the streets, and they're just trying to maybe catch a glimpse of Jesus. Maybe hear a couple words will pass through the door, and they'll be able to hear what Jesus is teaching on. And then in verse 3, we see that while he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived, carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. So these four men show up to this house. It's packed. They can't get in. They want this man to see Jesus because they believe Jesus can heal him. And these friends, I just want us to take note. These friends have done some very practical things for this man. I mean, think about, just get into the story a little bit with me here. This man couldn't get to Jesus himself, okay? He is not able to get to Jesus. So his four friends care about him enough that they put him on a mat and they carry him down the street. They probably had to pass some ropes under the mat. So they're carrying him down the mat. They get there. They can't get into the house. So they put him up on the roof. They cut a hole in the roof and they lower him down to Jesus. These men did a lot of practical things. They did a lot of tangible, hands-on things for this man. But I want you to see something. None of those things healed the man. And my first point is that it's not about the mat. It is not primarily about the mat. And you may think, well, this is great. Here we are trying to get some practical help on how to help people, and you're telling me it's not about what I do. The answer is, in a sense, yes. It's not about the mat. This wasn't a magical mat. It wasn't a medical mat. It wasn't about the mat. They did all the things, and they did them right. They did them perfectly. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. But the thing is, it wasn't about the mat. It wasn't about the ropes. It wasn't about the size of the hole in the roof that they cut. It wasn't about the mat. They could have carried this man on that mat 1,000 miles in the other direction, and they would have had to carry him right back. They could have taken him and lowered him through 1,000 houses. They'd have had to go down in the house and carry him out. It's not about the mat. These men did an incredible thing for this man. But it is important for us to understand as we get into this, to understand what our place is. What is the place of the practical, tangible help that we are trying to give people? They did a lot of practical things, but not one of them got to the end and said, you know what? I think it was the mat. I think it was the mat that we put him on. Like, I think that's what ultimately healed our friend. Like, nobody was saying that because they all knew it wasn't the mat. They knew it wasn't their efforts and all the things that they did. They knew that they were part of the process. See, it's important for us to understand not just the place of the things that we do, but to fundamentally understand what is our place in somebody's life. And so as we start looking at this, the friends were helpful, right? They did some helpful things to get this man to Jesus. And that's what we need to understand, is that we get to help, but he gets to heal. As followers of Jesus, we get to help. We get to step in and carry. But we are not the Savior. We are not the answer. Our actions are not going to transform somebody's life. But we know someone who can. Jesus. Jesus is the healer. He is the one that can heal. He's the only one that can do what we cannot do for somebody. And so while we do all that we can do, and we want to be helpful, and we want to step in and carry and do all the stuff, it's not about the mat. It's about the man. It's about Jesus. in verse 4. It says they get to the house and they couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Again, what house did they carry him to? The one that Jesus was in. Where did they cut a hole in the roof? I mean, do you see that? Above his head. Like, this couldn't be more Jesus-centric story, right? They bring him to the house that Jesus is in. They cut the hole above Jesus' head, and they lower him down, where? Right in front of Jesus. See, it's not about the mat, primarily. It's about the man, Jesus, the one who can heal. He is the healer. All of their actions up to this point were aimed at one thing. This beautiful picture that we see, everything that they did, I mean, I want you to think about this. This man was probably at some point in this day sitting alone by himself in a house. And then these friends step in because they love and they care for him and they want to be helpful. And they say, hey, guess what? We heard Jesus is back in town. Maybe we could take our friend there and maybe Jesus would heal him. So they put him on a mat. They run ropes under it. They walk him down the street. They get to the house. They hoist him on the roof. They dig. All of those things are for this moment. And I just want you to picture this moment in your mind where the hole gets opened and the man gets lowered. And he's lowered right in front of Jesus, is what the text says. And it's this beautiful moment where these guys, all they do gets this man to where he's levitating right in front of Jesus. And it's like we get to do a lot of the practical stuff. Like a lot of what Kevin was talking about last week about being present with people who are in deep struggle. Like that's significant. We do those things. We do all the other things. We go with them to the places they need to go, but maybe won't on their own. We do everything we possibly can. But if you don't have that vision in your minds about what you're ultimately hoping for, then I think as Christians, we bring nothing else to the table, if not Jesus. If not to bring people to that moment where everything that we've done, all the carrying, everything that we've done, we're hoping and praying for that moment where that person is lowered through the roof and they get to see Jesus and he gets to heal them. It's not about the mat, it's about the man, it's about Jesus. And it's about our mindset. It's about what we are hoping for, what we are believing in. And I want you to see that in this text in verse 5. I mean, again, this is a beautiful moment, right? Here he is, suspended before Jesus, but then I'm like, what's Jesus, how is Jesus gonna respond to this? What's Jesus gonna think of this? I mean, they just renovated the roof right above his head while he's preaching a sermon. Like, is he gonna be cool with this? Like, I don't think we know if we haven't read the story. But in verse 5, this is what it says. Seeing their faith. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. See, Jesus didn't see a hole in a roof. He didn't see an interruption to his sermon. It says that Jesus saw their faith. He saw that they believed that he was who he was, that he was in fact the healer. He looked up and I gotta believe with a glint in his eye was like that. Here he is teaching God's word. He's teaching about the kingdom and he's got these people that are skeptical, these people that are curious, and all of a sudden the roof opens up and there's four dudes and a paralyzed guy and he's like that right there. Seeing their faith. They get it. They believe that I am here to heal. And so the most important question for us, I do believe, when we're talking about practically helping people who are experiencing the brokenness of this world in profoundly heavy ways is, do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus can heal? Do you believe that? When you're talking with somebody who's telling you how they feel, how dark it's been, how they cannot seem to get out of this prison and this feeling and this phase or whatever you want to call it, this funk, they can't get out. Is Jesus relevant in that moment? I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I got to suffer through the conviction of this sermon before you, but sometimes it's no. When someone's telling me about their stuff, it's like, I'm like, oh, maybe you should this, maybe you should try that, maybe you should do this, maybe, yeah. And I'm serious when I say this, I'm not trying to be trite, but I don't want to overcomplicate this. But do you ever just think about saying, do you know about Jesus? Like, I mean, either he's real or he's not. And if he's not real, when somebody's in their darkest moment, then what are we here for? If we can't have a conversation about Jesus in someone's darkest, deepest moment, then I don't really know why we're here. And I want to be able to. I want to be like these four men who will do anything. I'll do crazy things to get to the moment where somebody that's hurting and broken has been dropped right in front of Jesus and they get to see him. And I get the best seat in the house because I get to sit up from the roof and watch Jesus heal them. Do you believe that he is who he is? He is the healer. We are the helpers. We get to do all of these practical things and participate in this story, in this journey. But ultimately, as followers of Jesus, we're pointing people to him. And here's the thing. Like, Jesus, listen to what Jesus says there. These guys do all of this stuff, and honest to goodness, like, all they want is the man to walk. Right? They just want him to be healed to walk. And Jesus, being Jesus, notice what he says. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. See, here's the thing. People, all of us are the same. We want the temporary relief. We want the thing that we think will make it all better, but Jesus wants so much more. Right? I mean, if Jesus would have just made the man walk, that he would have walked out of there ecstatic, right? He wouldn't have been like, oh man, I can only walk. I wanted to be forgiven of my sin too. No, he wanted to walk, right? That's what he wanted. And Jesus did that for him. But Jesus did so much more. And that's the reality of what we're dealing with here. Like, we're dealing with something that's so much bigger than whatever it is we're looking at. It's bigger. It's bigger than any expert can dissect. It's bigger than anybody can. It's bigger. It's huge. It's everything. We all are broken. All of us. At best, we're pretending like we're not. Some of us are better at pretending than others. Some of us just aren't good at pretending. We're all broken. Jesus is the healer. Do you believe that? He can heal. And here's the thing, and this is where we get a little more practical. Believing that Jesus is the healer and that it's not your job to save people or fix people doesn't make you less motivated to actually help people. Quite the opposite, actually. See, what I described to you in the beginning about me having sort of this like analysis paralysis where I'm like, I don't know if I should, I don't know if I, like that whole thing, like I'm now free of that because guess what? It's not on me to save them, to fix them, to be the answer. It's just my job to do whatever I can do to help and then to trust the healer to heal. It's so freeing and it's actually so motivating because it's not about what's in here, what I have. It's about who he is. It's not ultimately about our mats. It isn't. It's about the man, Jesus, who came, who died, who was raised again, who wants to redeem and heal and forgive and make whole. It's about him. It's not about us. As we kind of wrap this up, I'm going to say something now. My last point is the mat still matters. The mat still matters. What we do does still matter. We just have to understand that we're just trying to help people get to the healer. Let's not make it all about the mat. Let's make it about him. You know, the mat is mentioned like 5 times in the story, right? They put the man on the mat. They carry the man on the mat. They lower the man through the roof on the mat. It's a significant part of the story. But guess what? At the end, the man gets to carry the mat out of the house. I just think that's so cool. The thing that he was carried on this whole time, Jesus heals him, and now he carries that out. The mat matters. The things that we do matter because primarily Jesus, the healer, is calling us to participate with him in the work that he's doing. And again, for me, this is so freeing because like I said, I'm a dum-dum. I'll say the wrong thing at the wrong time. I'll miss the opportunity. And if I'm thinking that's gonna be the thing that does it, well, good luck, everybody. You know, I will be the guy that'll do the 38 chapters in Job after chapter 2, where it's like, can somebody please hit the mute button on these guys? But if my faith is in the healer to heal, then the things that I do, like they're just designed to help people see Jesus. He's the one that can ultimately heal. None of the things they did healed him, but they were all part of the story of the man being healed. Do you understand what that looks like in our lives? Like, God isn't asking us to go out and fix people. He's not asking us to go out there and figure it all out. He's asking us to go out there and love people and point them to him, and he will ultimately heal people. The mat, it matters. What we do matters. That should be exciting to us. It's part of the story. You know, last year, the Mariners had like a great season, and every night we keep watching, hoping it'll happen again at some point this year. But one of the cool things about last year was like Cal Raleigh. You know, this is fun. All the whatever was just fun. He's doing great. I'm not a big sports collector of memorabilia or anything like that, but if somebody wanted to give me Cal Raleigh's 60th home run ball, I'd take it. Or if somebody wanted to give me like the bat that he hit the 60th home run with, like I would take it. I would love to have it up in my shop. It'd be really fun. Be like, dude, that's the bat. That's the bat that Cal Raleigh hit the 60th home run with. I guarantee you that this guy that, I don't guarantee you, I can't do that, sorry. I bet you that this paralyzed man, I bet you that that mat was up on the wall in his man cave. And he's like, that is the mat. That's the mat that I was laying on when Jesus healed me. It did matter in some sense. The mat, the things the guys did. It's part of this beautiful story about how a man was ultimately healed, made to walk, and forgiven by Jesus. We just have to make sure that we have things in their right place. So, to move a little bit towards what do we do with this? To summarize kind of what's happened here, a group of friends in this text with genuine and determined faith overcame every obstacle to bring their paralyzed friend to Jesus so that he could experience healing and forgiveness. The man in this story was physically paralyzed. We're in a series where we're talking about, in a sense, people who are sort of in a state of mental paralysis. They're somewhere that they cannot seem to get themselves out of. The men in this story that we're looking at stepped in and carried their friend. They carried him to Jesus because he couldn't walk. And so we want to be able to do that for people around us as well. There's 2 main things I want to say as we kind of close and try to think through application. The first is get your mind set. That's what this text is. This text is not anything great these men did. Nothing, it's not, we're not pointing at anything they physically did that led to healing, other than Jesus seeing their faith, seeing their minds, understood that Jesus could do for this man what they could not. They believed that to the point that they did what they did. They put him on a mat, they put him, and they did all that stuff because their mind was right. They believed, they knew Jesus could heal. And I do believe the most practical and powerful thing that you can do to help people is believe that Jesus can heal. In this story, it doesn't say that the paralytic man had faith. We don't, it could include him, but it absolutely included his four friends standing on the roof. Jesus seeing their faith. The most practical and powerful thing that you can do as a follower of Jesus is believe. Believe Jesus. Believe that when you're talking with somebody, Jesus can heal them. Jesus can do this. I don't know how. I don't know how it's going to look, but I believe that Jesus can heal this person. If you believe like that, I believe you will do things that you'll see God do things that you never thought you could be a part of. It is the most practical thing is that you first and foremost believe that Jesus is the healer. Secondly, get your mat ready. Okay? Get your mind set and then get your mat ready. Be ready with the tools and the things that will help someone be a part of the story where they find the healer, where they experience healing through Jesus. And I think we see some things from these guys in the story. I'm gonna give you three things that I think are present there. And one is be loving as you're seeking to be helpful. I mean, these guys, the idea of a mat, I mean, I don't know, I don't exist in that day and age, but it epitomizes comfort, right? These guys, they didn't just grab the guy by the scruff of the neck like a cat you're about to throw outside or set outside and drop him before Jesus, right? The whole story is full of like care and love and concern. They don't cut a hole in the roof and just like funk, kick them down there and be like, well, I hope Jesus can heal all that too. You know, like it says they lowered him. Like, and I know some of these things are obvious, but I think they demonstrate love and care. They were motivated by love and care for their friend, and they believed that Jesus could heal. How can you be loving and caring to somebody who's struggling? And I do think a lot of it starts, I mean, we all have heard the stories of the people that, what Kevin was talking about last week, about of being present with people. That's loving. It takes love to just sit with somebody who's struggling and just be like, I'm here to show up and to be there. Like, be loving. I think we also see them being persistent, right? Like, especially when we're talking about somebody who's stuck or paralyzed in a mental illness, the long seasons of depression or anxiety, they don't know how to get out, and it gets more and more frustrating the longer they're there. I think persistence makes sense, right? Don't just one and done, like, well, I tried, but they didn't listen. You know, they just want to whatever. Like, these friends are persistent. They got to the house and they couldn't get in, right? They didn't turn around and go back. They didn't just sit where they were and maybe hope that Jesus. No, they were persistent. They got up on the roof and they got the man to Jesus. They did whatever it took. So keep carrying is the idea here. When you're with somebody and it's not getting fixed right away, be persistent. Stay there. Keep calling. Keep doing the things. I mean, I'll just say, like, I've had several people that I've been close with at times who have taken their life, and the last one gets to me. I moved away. I used to live somewhere else. I used to do all kinds of things with this guy, and I can make all kinds of excuses, and I can say all, but I knew he wasn't doing super well. But you know, when you move away and all the stuff, persistence. Like if I could go back, it'd be like, I wish I would have called a couple more times. I wish I would have like, not that I, again, not that I'm the savior, but as a follower of Jesus, I wish I would have been loving and caring enough and believed enough that the answer was Jesus to call a few more times. So be persistent. Don't just one and done. Well, I checked the box. Of all things with mental illness, that's not how that works, you know? So let's be persistent like these guys. Let's do whatever it takes to get them to a place where they can see Jesus. Lastly, I think we see creativity. And I would say, be creative. Seriously, guys, they thought it was a good idea to put a paralyzed man on the roof. You're not gonna find that one in the Google search. All right? How do you get to Jesus? Oh, there it is, the fourth option down. Cut hole in roof. No, it's not going to be there. All right? So we can all Google how to be helpful, right? We can all get on Google and say, how do we help people with mental illness? And that's a great list. But you're the one that God has put where you are in that person's life. Look at it. Be creative. What's the thing? What's the connection that you have that they may have with nobody else? What have they told you that maybe they've never told anybody else? What do you know about them that maybe nobody else in their life knows? Be creative. Haul the paralyzed guy up on the roof and cut a hole and put him through it. I mean, that's what these guys did. That was not in the textbook. And I'll say, you just don't know. For my own, you know, journey or whatever, like one of my darkest times, we were living in Vancouver, Washington. I don't like rain. I don't like city. We had all four kids. They were young. I was trying to do some woodworking out of my shop. I had to put tarps off the thing because the rain, it was like the flood 2.0. And it's just, I'm just like, I'm buried in stuff and I can't make any progress and I don't know how to be a dad and all that. And I'm just like, ugh. And I got really kind of depressed and stressed. And I was just like, I felt like I was about to just implode, explode. I didn't know. And a buddy called me up and he said, hey man, the Trask River, we can float it and fish for steelhead. And I was just like, my first thought was like, I wish, man. Like, I'm so... And I remember I hung up the phone, and honest to goodness, you only get to use this like one time, guys. I felt like God was like, go fishing. And I'm like, that makes no sense. Like, I don't have time for that. I don't, you know. And I went, and it was like, it was what I needed. Like, I needed to get out of my own world and do something that I like loved to do just for one day. Like, on that float trip, I mean, it was just like, it was a time in my life where I felt like God was just like, let go. Like, just let go, man. You're like this. You right now are like this because you were trying to run everything and you have all these. And it's just like, I mean, you just see, I called you out here just to be like, just let go of it all. Like, you couldn't have told me that. No, I can just stay home and have somebody tell you that. My buddy didn't even know what he probably still doesn't know how impactful that day was for me. My point in this is, be creative. You might have the only connection with somebody that might help them out of the hole that they're in. So look at the unique aspects of your relationship with whoever it is you're talking to and just be creative about it. In terms of practical help, we have this session coming up Thursday night. Like, I hope that you're as excited about this as I am, looking at Jesus as the healer, that I just get to be a part of this process. I get to be a mat or a hole in a roof for somebody. Like, I hope you're excited about that. And I am ultimately not because I think I'm gonna be good at any of those things, but because I believe that Jesus is the healer. And I wanna be the one that Jesus looks at and says, that, he believes. He believes that I can heal for this person, for yourself. Like, and so we have this session on Thursday night. I want to encourage you to come to that. I think it's going to be just incredibly helpful. We have two great people in our congregation that this is what they do. And so they're going to give us some tools so that we can get our mats ready, that we can be ready to jump in, to help people, and hopefully carry them to Jesus. I want to believe Jesus enough to carry people when they can't walk. I want to be crazy enough in my belief that Jesus can heal to cut holes in roofs. I do. And we're surrounded by people every day who need the healer. We know him. It's Jesus. All right? That's freeing, guys. That's inspiring. And so let's walk alongside them. Let's pick them up when they can't walk. And let's point them to Jesus.